Big, big day for a few Atlanta Falcons, Robert Alford, Mohamed Sanu, and Matt Bryant. They need to practice today, ladies and gentlemen. Mohamed Sanu and Matt Bryant were out yesterday, Sanu with the hip that's been keeping him out of practice. And obviously he plays through it, and I expect him to play against Cleveland. But Robert Alford and Matt Bryant, different story. They both obviously missed last week. Bryant's absence goes back 3 weeks now, including the bye. He's going to kick today. They thought he was going to kick last week, last Thursday. He did not. Tavecchio had another start and once again kicked well. But today we will find out. We're going to know if Matt Bryant can kick on Sunday or not today. If he makes it through. Actually, I'm going to take that back tomorrow. Because if he kicks today, then he's got to not be too sore tomorrow and suffer a setback or anything like that. But today is a big day of practice for our Atlanta Falcons as we go around the 404.
And unless I missed it, I didn't see where they waived anybody for Bruce Irvin. I wonder if they're just saving that if Matt Bryant's able to kick. Okay, Giorgio Tavecchio gets let go. By the way, I had a chance to talk to him on the field, just kind of passing. I said, bro, it was kind of end of the Redskins game. I dapped him up. I said, great kicks a week ago. We needed them, or 2 weeks ago. And he goes, dude, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be kicking. He's making like, if the league minimum's 500 grand, he's making like 30 grand a week to be the kicker for the Atlanta Falcons.
It's good money.
Yeah. I mean,
good money per month.
You got to love the fact that he's a humble kid, and you know, this is a guy that's been grinding and trying to keep himself in the NFL. I think somebody will sign him eventually if they have kicking woes. He definitely will get a look next year when it comes to training camp and somebody having an opportunity to potentially win or lose a job.
A lot of times, man, kickers knock on the door and they bounce around and then they find a home and they start splitting the uprights and then they're in that spot for 10 years. It's the life
unless
of a kicker.
Unless their last name's Aguayo.
Yeah, it's the life of a kicker. And you guys, they sign him off the couch and all this. And, you know, Caleb Sturgis of the L.A. Chargers just missed a bunch of kicks. They fired him. Brought in Michael Badgley, the former Miami Hurricane kicker. And I was hearing John and Hugh probably two mornings ago talking about the second Matt Bryant is healthy and the Falcons cut Giorgio Tavecchio, he will sign with another team. I was like, I don't know if it's going to happen that quickly. And then I remembered Caleb Sturgis and the L.A. Chargers. He would be a monstrous upgrade. No offense to Michael Badgley. He's a rookie. But we've seen Tavecchio in the NFL, and we've seen him play really well this year. Not so much last year with the Raiders, but I'm kind of coming around more to John and Hugh that some of the teams that are like the Cleveland Browns, okay, they had Zane Gonzalez. He sucked. Now they have Greg Joseph. And by the way, flip a coin every single time he swings the leg. Flip a coin. That is advantage Falcons, whether it's Tavecchio or Bryant, because Greg Joseph is a very inconsistent, ragtag, signed right off the couch type of kicker. Like, Giorgio Tavecchio would solidify the kicking situation in Cleveland as well.
Chris Boswell stunk for Pittsburgh for good. I know he's made some huge kicks there. He's been terrible a lot of the stretch this year. Mm-hmm. So there are kickers out there, and Tavecchio, if he sticks around another week, I'm confident he'll make kicks. If Matt Bryant's back, you're obviously confident with what he will do. But that's something to watch for. The other thing that we brought up earlier was the potential use of a NASCAR package. It's already been talked about on different media outlets with Bruce Irvin alongside Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. Maybe you throw Grady Jarrett in there as well. This is something the Falcons haven't had in a while. Three defensive ends that you feel comfortable or linebacker types that you feel comfortable that could go get the quarterback.
I'm excited for it, man. And what it does is like a Jack Crawford, a Deidrin Sinat, on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, they may not be on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked John earlier, are we talking about bringing 5 with Bruce Irvin?
So.
Are we talking about bringing 4 with Bruce Irvin? At which point you would have 3 defensive ends, one of them kicking inside. You'd have Grady Jarrett, and then you would have your interior defensive linemen, you know, Terrell McClain and Deidrin Snod and Jack Crawford and guys like this on the sideline for a third down and distance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. We need to get to the quarterback and bring his butt to the ground. And so, look, we're all very excited about the Bruce Irvin signing. I mean, there's not – it is rare, John, for there to be a sports topic and there be a consensus of positivity right in town. But if you are downplaying or chagrining about the Bruce Irvin signing, then keep listening. Maybe eventually it'll reach home.
Well, I think about it. Was it 2 years ago he was a free agent? The Falcons were in on potentially signing him, and he got a big deal, obviously, from the Raiders and went there. So it's not like this is the first go-round where they've kind of played around with Bruce Irvin. Hey, maybe this is somebody we can bring in. The price tag was a little too high, and now you get him on the cheap. And just say he goes out and gives you a couple of sacks the rest of the year in these 8 games. Now you have a guy that's already in-house that's taken a hometown discount to be here that maybe you can re-sign on the cheap, potentially to move around some of the pieces you have and solidify this pass rush.
Well, it sounds like he wants to finish his career here. He turned down less money from the Steelers, more money from the Steelers, more money from the Patriots to come here to play in his home state, play in his hometown, the team he grew up with, all that good stuff. So I do see him here more than just the end of this year, John. I don't think this is not a money grab because he took less money to come here. And I think he's going to want to finish his career here. He's going to want to just settle down here this year, maybe 2 years beyond this, at a very reasonable number. But I think Bruce Irvin's going to be a Falcon for a couple of years.
Well, Preacher Man just whispered in my ear, and it was so sensual and delightful. He said Austin Pastor's just been waived. So there's your answer. We just answered it for you.
That's your guy.
Yeah, Austin Pastor, no longer here.
He's your guy.
Sure.
You a little butthurt about him getting? I mean, you're a big fan. You've got his jersey and everything.
I do. I raw-dogged it the other day. By the way,
he needs to buy a vowel in his last name, by the way.
I know a lot of people have given me crap about the plumbing thing.
Have you hired a damn plumber yet?
No, I have to do it today, though.
Are you hiring a plumber,
or are you doing it?
Fix
your ball cock.
No, I got to do the ball cock thing. I got to make sure that's taken care of in the toilet. So here's what happened, Paul. You know, talking to wifey, she goes, "Are you ever going to fix that toilet? It's been a couple of weeks." And I go, "Yeah, I mean, I'll get to it." She goes, "No, because it got irritating again last night, just sitting there going." So I got to go buy the piece, what I call it, the plubby plunger thing in the back. I got to get that and unscrew and turn the water off and flush and make it work again. Make my plumbing great again.
Are you sure you're going to be able to handle that tonight?
I can handle it. Yeah,
are you sure?
I get off at 2 o'clock.
We got ACC football tonight. We got Steelers and Panthers. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
A lot of stuff to do.
If it takes me till 8 o'clock tonight to fix this toilet, I will have a plumber out there by then.
We got a glitzy doubleheader on TNT across the street.
That's after hours. It's going to cost you double.
I know.
Rockets and Thunder, Warriors and Bucks.
Yeah, let me tell you what, I won't be
sexy
up watching.
Doubleheader.
Warriors and Bucks actually is a really good game. I won't be up that late.
Come on, John. Take a nap. We're going around the 404 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Home of the Hawks, by the way. And last night they lose to the New York Knicks. And I was happy about that because the New York Knicks are kind of sort of in the race with us for top picks in the draft. The New York Knicks will not be a playoff team. I don't even know if Kristaps Porzingis is going to return this year. But Tim Hardaway Jr., my God. John, they're scoring 20 as they say. Anybody can score 20 on a bad team. Well, Tim Hardaway Jr. is averaging almost 30 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Had 34 last night. Killed us with 37 or 38 in the previous meeting. By the way, half of New York's wins this year are against us. And but it was a fun game last night. Good to see Torian Prince back, John. He missed Tuesday's game. Came back last night, oddly, off the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask Lloyd Pierce about that. I just didn't understand it. He played 31 minutes off the bench. I just did not understand that. Why? He only missed one game. It's not like he missed a month and you got to reacclimate him and all this kind of stuff. He missed one game. I'd get him back in the starting lineup. I don't understand why he didn't do that.
One of the most fun moments watching the game last night, Bob Rathman and Neek on the call. Hardaway has a crossover three in the first half that just...
That was on Bazemore.
No, he didn't make the shot. This was just a clang. It was like Philip Seymour Hoffman's character and Along Came Polly. And Bob Rathman goes... I guess that was a heat check. He threw up a brick. And then Dominique goes, that was more than a brick. That was a cinder block.
Nice.
It was, I mean, Timmy was heat checking. You know you have those moments at LA Fitness. You come down and you're feeling good. Maybe you made your last shot and you cross a guy over and you pull up and it's not really in your range. And you hit all backboard or you hit side rim and it's like, that's what it was. Now, he scored a lot last night, a lot of time at the free throw line, and we are going to ask. I'll ask him. He's going to tell me he can't talk about it because the officials sucked last night. Way too many ticky-tack foul calls for my liking on a Wednesday night NBA game in November.
It's going great with us in LP, John. Don't screw it up. Getting him fined. Don't go getting our coach
fined.
All right.
By the way, NBAMockDraft.net has the Hawks picking 7th. Getting Romeo Langford of Indiana, if you're so inclined.
I have not made my rounds with college basketball past Duke and Kentucky the other night. I have no idea who you're talking about.
He's a freshman.
I'm sure he's a hell of a young man. So here's the deal. I was at State Farm Arena last night, so it was my second time there on this young season. First time I was with Charity, we were in the lower bowl checking that whole thing out, and the upgrade is sensational. But I did not go upstairs. So last night, my buddy Cal Bowdler invited me to the Atlanta Social Club. I had to take him up on that. He's a great guy. And the Atlanta Social Club is the bomb, the absolute bomb. Now, it's spendy. It's a pricey ticket, but you get a lot for that. You get free food. You get free drinks. You get a very cushy, wide seat. You get a good angle on the game. I was really impressed. So, and then I'm talking with John Fricke this morning. He's like, well, you need, when you're in the lower bowl, to go in the tunnels and around where they have, you know, concessions and you can buy beer or a drink. They actually have a spot where fans can hear and watch the postgame press conference with the coaches and I don't think the players, but I think with Lloyd Pierce. I haven't seen that yet. So I'm still making my way around State Farm Arena, but so far the results are, and just my takeaway is, wow. There's a lot of wow factor going on there at State Farm
Arena. It's a marvelous place. We were lucky enough when we sat down on the floor for WWE SmackDown. Before, there was like an ancillary bathroom kind of off on the side, and that was it. So Mark gets up. Mark goes, I got to break the seal. So I'm like, where's the bathroom? He goes, not only is there a bathroom, it's like a cathedral under here. The bathroom, there's like multiple bars for drinks. They had two or three food stands. This is like if you're sitting lower level and you don't know where the court is for the Hawks, you can walk underneath and sit down there. They've got TVs. It's a tremendous, tremendous upgrade.
Now, are you talking on the side where the bar is, where you can bring a drink out, where the Atlanta Hawk logo is, and sort of, as they call it, the bar on the court?
This is underneath one of the sections in the 100 level. Like, not off to the – because the bars are down on either end of the court. This is underneath. Like, if you've got courtside seats or even in the 100 level, you come all the way down to the floor, you'll see tunnels that lead underneath. And they've got a whole setup down there. Like, literally, bars, food, refillable drink station. So if you buy your soda, you just go down there and get the refill on Coke or Sprite or whatever the hell you feel like drinking.
I thought, I want to call out Knicks fans right now. Where were you last night? Where were you?
Oh, my God.
Where were you? Forget about it. I had stuff to do. Anyway, I love you New Yorkers, man. I like to get into that accent from time to time. I thought the lower bowl would be largely packed. It's usually like that with the Knicks crowd, right? I mean, they travel well. There's a lot of New Yorkers down here, and God bless y'all, down here in Atlanta that go to the games. But the Knicks are at the bottom of the standings. The Hawks
are at the bottom of the standings for like 5 decades.
I really thought there'd be more vibe. The best vibe at Phillips Arena right now is in the fourth quarter when the opposition gets to the free throw line and they miss the first free throw. The crowd goes crazy because if you miss the second free throw, it's a free Chick-fil-A sandwich for everybody. Yep. And I said last night to Cal, I think Cantor was at the line, missed the first, and it was like in a playoff scenario where you need the guy to miss the free throw. And I'm like, look at the Hawks fans, man. I see Hawks fans. He's like, Rick. They get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah.
He misses the second free throw.
You didn't even pay attention to the humongatron that was up there. Now, did you see our faces when we popped up?
I did.
It kind of scares you,
doesn't it? We are larger than life at State Farm Arena.
A buddy of mine, Dozier, sends me a text and said, my boy, I see you on the big screen. And there's a whole lot of me on the big screen.
Shout out to former Hawk Ricky Brown. I met him last night. He played back in the day. Great guy, but he looked up at when they ran you and me with the 92.9 and the whole thing, and he put it together. He's like, wait a minute, you're, and you know, I'm just a mellow guy, and he didn't really know, but he's like, yeah, and you're on NBA TV too. So the big board helped him recognize me and kind of figure it out. Shout out to Ricky Brown, man.
Now, were you wearing any of your foundation when you were at the game last
night? No man makeup last night. I did not have any primer on. primer and some powder on this afternoon at NBA TV.
Mark, here's the dichotomy of our show. Well, I'll be a manly man fixing a toilet.
Yeah, there you go.
Rick will have primer on.
I'll have primer.
Actually,
I'll number 30 on.
Dude, I'd rather be wearing primer on TV than playing in the back of a toilet. That's just me. By the way, a couple of quick Braves notes if you missed them from earlier on. Reports out there that the Braves could be trying to make a trade for JT Realmuto.
Good.
Catcher from the Miami, Florida, whatever the hell, Marlins, the AAA team down there.
The Jeters.
The Jeter team. And that they could be interested in Craig Kimbrel.
I got excited midway through last Braves season, and Alex Anthopoulos had a little session or seminar or something with fans. And there were reporters there, and then they took, you know, takeaways from what Anthopoulos said to the fans. One of them, and I told you at the time, is he said that he wants to go after Craig Kimbrel in the offseason. This was mid-season last year. and it got me very excited. Craig Kimbrell, of course, coming off a World Series champion. Why not bail Boston in the terrible weather and all the DBs up there and come down here to your home? Come back where it started and help us win a championship. I want to, whatever Craig Kimbrell wants, he gets. He wants $25 million a year. He gets $25 million
a year.
Yeah,
I ain't giving him that much.
Why not?
I'm not $25 million for a closer.
Why not?
No, I can't
He's
pay
a
that much.
Hall of Famer, John.
That's fine.
He is arguably the best closer in Major League Baseball right now. He's unhittable. When he comes in the ninth inning, the game is over. Why wouldn't you pay 20? It's not your money. Why wouldn't you pay 25 mil for that?
I can't pay 25 mil. Because I got other pieces I might want to spend money
on. There's no salary cap in baseball.
The Braves have their own self-inflicted salary cap. That's the point.
But this fits well within that. Go get Craig Kimbrell, please.
Le'Veon Bell sending upside-down messages. He's hanging out in a gym. There's updates as to whether he has to report or not. Talk about that next.
Let's bounce. We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think I speak for James Conner owners in fantasy football everywhere when I say Le'Veon Bell, don't come back. Le'Veon Bell, take your ball, go home, and stay there. And if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, look, ladies and gentlemen, John's going to give you the latest developments. I'm giving you, like, the take before the news. I don't want him back. And you say, how could you say this? He makes them that much better. They can win a Super Bowl with him. They can win a Super Bowl with James Conner, okay? Mm-hmm. Look at the numbers this dude is putting up. He's having Le'Veon Bell games. 150 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 50 yards. Kind of sounds like a Le'Veon Bell game. Maybe it's the system and a stud to run the system. I'm not a Le'Veon Bell guy. If I were the Steelers, I'd be like, nah, we're good. We're good. We're going to go with James Conner. So you can come back and you can, you know, get your little – you know, get your year of service and, you know, trigger this and trigger that. We ain't playing you. We're going with James Conner.
I'll be honest, I don't even want you to come back. You're good. I'd pull the tender off the table. Bye-bye. Go do whatever the hell you want. You can be a free agent right now. I'd wait until after the playoff time to do that. But here's what's crazy. First of all, Le'Veon Bell had tweeted the other day, bye-bye Miami, because, mind you, had been in Miami partying and having a great time. And most people assumed, all right, he's going back to Pittsburgh. Well, not so much. He sent out a tweet yesterday that was upside down. And please don't be the annoying upside down tweeter. I don't even know how to do it. He said, I'm not apologizing for what I believe is right for myself, family, and the rest of my peers, period. Also, if you're really finding the time to figure out what I'm saying, you've proved my point. I don't even know what he's trying to say there.
Is he okay?
I'm trying not to read all the rest of this upside down anymore. He said, just about everybody has an opinion of my life and worried about what I'm doing. Don't judge me off my decisions. Maybe this isn't what you do, but most people don't take the time to simply read between the lines, and that's clearly on them. Here's what's interesting. I was reading something yesterday that Le'Veon Bell, we had heard all along that Le'Veon Bell would have to sign his franchise tag by November 13th in order to accrue an NFL season. Which would then mean next year if they tried to franchise him, they'd have to pay him like $25 million, meaning he'd be a free agent. Now, Pittsburgh at that point could have used a transition tag, which basically a team puts an offer on the table. They have the right to match it. Obviously, they would never do it. But what I was reading yesterday, there seems to be some confusion that potentially Le'Veon Bell does not have to show up to accrue the year of service, meaning this would be a second tag. If they tried to tag him next year, it would be a third year, and he would be a free agent basically at the end of this year. If that's the case, and I don't know all of the legalities of the NFL rules, but if that's the case, Le'Veon Bell is not showing up for the Steelers. He will be a free agent at the end of the year. To the next team, have fun with that.
I mean, that might literally win me a couple of fantasy championships in leagues that I have James Conner. He's just killing it, man. And if Le'Veon Bell comes back, I don't have Le'Veon Bell. I told you guys in August during fantasy football draft season, don't take Le'Veon Bell. Don't do it. You remember me beating that drum hard in the month of August because I didn't trust him. All right, I'm in the NBA TV league. I had the number 2 pick. That's the Le'Veon Bell pick. After Todd Gurley won, Le'Veon Bell 2, done, move on to the next. I didn't take him. I took David Johnson. And by the way, that's kind of sort of right about Zeke Elliott too, right? They're going to stack the box, put 8 in the box, and make it that much tougher for Zeke Elliott. The Dallas offense is going to stink all year. You know, I got some stuff wrong, but I did get a couple things right to stay away from Zeke and, more importantly, to stay away from Le'Veon Bell.
Real quick, one last thing on Le'Veon Bell. Apparently spotted in a gym in Pittsburgh playing pickup basketball with a bunch of guys at LA Fitness. I'm sure the Steelers would just love to see Le'Veon Bell in there playing pickup basketball. Like,
pickup
really?
Basketball?
Yeah.
I was talking with somebody, and he was trying to sell me that that Le'Veon Bell is smart and Le'Veon Bell is playing his hand right,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't see it. He is leaving with every week that he does not play $909,000 on the table.
That's it?
$909,000 per week on the table. And he says, oh, you know, you think you know what's up with my life. You try to get into my life. No, I don't. I don't care, dude. I know you're a knucklehead, okay? But what I do know is that leaving $14.5 million on the table in 2018 is one of the dumbest decisions an athlete has ever made. And I can promise Le'Veon Bell one thing, John. He will never, ever make this money back.
No.
This is gone. It's vaporized.
It's over.
You might as well have gambled it in Las Vegas with Mark Owens. It is vaporized. Running backs have a shelf life in the NFL, do they not?
They do.
All right, let's get to us.
Usually about 3-4 years, that's it. Yeah, giving money to Mark Owens to go to Vegas, you might as well just drop it outside.
Let's go.
What was that?
A mistake?
There we go.
By the president?
Got us some music going right now.
Some game show music.
Yeah.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you just cue the Benny Hill music?
As your president, I'm falling the sword on that one, but my staff, Steve let me down on that.
Uh-oh.
We're it's going, a rah!
I had this big, awesome middies opened up.
Throwing people under the bus. That's what we do here
it's
on the
presidential
show.
Way with Mark Owens.
All right, let's get to these awards. Screw the sounder and the imaging. Let's start with Coach of the Year, bro. Coach of the Year in the NFL here at the Midway Point.
It's Matt Nagy, coach of the Chicago Bears. Dude, they're 5-3. Did anybody think the Bears were going to be 5-3 right now?
I thought they'd be 8-8 on the year.
With one of the best defenses in the league.
I did see upside with the Bears.
You didn't see Mitch Trubisky upside, but he's got Mitch Trubisky playing like a solid NFL quarterback.
I saw defense upside on this team, obviously, with Khalil and all that. I'm not mad at the Matt Nagy call. I think he's top three in ESPN's.
And he played for the Georgia Force, so you got to give him some love there.
Here's why I can't give Sean Payton Coach of the Year. Taysom Hill. We literally need to tie his hands together, tie his feet together, and keep him in a closet in the locker room of the stadium where the Saints play. I'm tired of that, dude. So, Sean Payton, I'm penalizing you for vulturing Kamara and Breeze and Thomas with stupid Taysom Hill. Andy Reid is the coach of the year. And here's why, John. He made a bold move, trading Alex Smith out, basically a ready-made playoff starter, to hit the reset button with Patrick Mahomes and say, I'm never winning big with Alex Smith. I can win big with this guy. So just that bold move right there, kind of like Mike D'Antoni putting the ball in James Harden's hand a couple of years ago, and it led to all that greatness for Houston. It's just a big-time coaching move. I say Andy Reid, Coach of the Year so
far. I'm not mad at that at all because Kansas City, I think a lot of us said, they're going to take a step back under Mahomes. They've done a great job. Mitch Trubisky's on pace to throw for 4,000 yards and 32 touchdowns. He's got 19, 49, and 16 scores at the midway point.
Buzzkill. And it's 3,522 are the over-unders.
Yeah, I think 22, I'm good. The 3,500, as the weather starts to change, I get nervous with that. But he's got good things going right now.
All right, let's talk about we're running down some middies for the NFL. Let's go Defensive Player of the Year.
It's Aaron Donald, period.
No, it's not.
It's Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald has 10 sacks out of the interior defensive line. Aaron Donald is, and I get it, the Rams are not great defensively. Aaron Donald's a one-man wrecking crew right now for them. So I got to give it to Aaron Donald. It's my dude. Me and him, we go way back to Todd Francis camp. We battled in the trenches before. It was a stalemate. So me and Aaron Donald.
Stalemate with Aaron Donald, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm partially kidding when I blow you up on that. Here's why I'm struggling with Aaron Donald for Defensive Player of the Year, John. The Rams are 10th in points allowed at 22 and 13th in yards allowed at 348.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a top 10 defense. How do we give DPOY to a guy who's the best player on a top 10 defense in a defense that was shredded by the Vikings a few weeks ago? You're probably right. How about J.J. Watt? How about we sing his praises?
Okay.
He's got 9 sacks, so one fewer than Aaron Donald. He has 4 forced fumbles, which is 3 more than Aaron Donald's 1. And J.J. Watt has batted down a couple of passes at the line of scrimmage. And Houston's defense is in the top 10 in points allowed and in yards allowed. They've won 6 games in a row. So you're probably right, John. I wouldn't be butthurt if Donald won it. But I want to give J.J. Watt some dap.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Saquon Barkley. Do you agree?
No, it's Calvin Ridley.
Oh, I like it. All right, we'll let you
get better offense, better team.
Now, I'm not looking at when it comes to MVP, DPOY, I don't just look at stats. I look at other stuff. When it comes to offensive rookie of the year, I don't look at win-loss total and all that kind of stuff. I just look at the stats and what you're doing on the football field. Who's been the best football player in that role? And to me, it's Saquon Barkley. Just bringing the Penn State and the Heisman hopeful to the NFL. I think he's been terrific.
I'm going to go with Calvin Ridley. What he does right now, catching touchdowns, on pace for almost 1,000 yards receiving when he came into the year as the third receiver on the team. That's how good Calvin Ridley's been. And I'm not mad at Saquon Barkley. He'll probably get the love. You know why? He plays in New York. And they'll be 1-15, and they'll have a young quarterback for him to play with next year. And a pouty wide receiver.
Named OBJ.
Mm-hmm. Defensive rookie of the year.
Defensive rookie of the year for me is Derwin James.
Yeah, me too.
Wow, we agree. Yeah. Derwin James, by the way, has 3.5 sacks. And a bunch of PDs and interceptions and fumble recoveries and all that. But with Bosa out, they have needed to sort of have other guys step up and keep mm-hmm. that Charger defense really good. And they got off to a lousy start, and now the Charger defense is really – they're sacking the QB. They're taking the ball away. They're holding teams down on the scoreboard. And Derwin James is a huge reason why.
Well, and this also lets you know that he mailed it in last year at Florida State because he did not make this kind of impact as in his last year in Tallahassee. The only other award's MVP.
MVP.
Uh-huh, Pat Mahomes.
I got a tie between Todd Gurley and Pat Mahomes.
I'm giving it to Pat Mahomes. What he's done is unbelievable. What the Preacher Man does every day is unbelievable. I can't wait. His new research material.
Nope.
Okay. All right. What else do we have then in From the Bible?
Well, we got a couple things. We got some IG on IG crime.
Nice.
And we got a speeding ticket we'll talk about. That's all coming up next from the Bible.
Hey, we are Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Laughing with Mike Conti about basketball. Go figure. As he exits the Kia Studios and we come right back in for From the Bible. I think a hallelujah is in store. We will get research material. It will not
really?
Come from Paul Bible.
No. Paul's doing it, right?
No.
Why not?
We had speeches, remember?
Uh-huh.
I didn't get voted in, so therefore research material goes away.
He issued a threat.
No, it wasn't a threat. That was a promise.
I don't make threats.
But you do bring the stories from the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't pull it out unless you plan to use it.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
I'm just leaving a big pause in there before I start talking.
Yeah, leave a pause so we can cut it cleanly and place it into the weekend review on Friday.
All right, so I've never heard of him before, but that should not explain. That should explain a lot when I read this story. A guy named Currency just got his favorite player a thank you gift for all the big wins down there in NOLA. That would be one Alvin Kamara. He got him a blinged out Rolex.
Oh, nice.
For scoring 12 touchdowns in 9 games. He basically said, what did he say? He said, don't worry about it. He said, don't even trip, G. Keep putting the work in for my city. Mm-hmm. So if this is the gift he gets for a 7-1 start, what's going to happen if they make it to the Super Bowl?
I'll tell you. You're going to get more than a Rolex. You're going to get a lot.
To think about Alvin Kamara being sort of an understudy or change of pace back to Jalen Hurd at Tennessee and what he has become now in the NFL. He's an MVP candidate, ladies and gentlemen. He has 9 touchdowns, which is tied for James Conner, second most in the NFL. These are rushing touchdowns, by the way. Not even I think he's got more through the air. Gurley has 12 rushing touchdowns. Gurley, Conner, Kamara, that's it. That's your top 3 in rushing touchdowns. I mean, I liked him at Tennessee. I liked him a lot, John. I thought he would be an NFL player. I thought he'd be a Duke Johnson type of guy,
sure.
A change of pack, like an Ito Smith type of guy. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
I did not see a superstar at Tennessee, and shame on Butch Davis. You might have won more damn games had you had Kamara on the field more.
I was lucky enough when he played at Norcross High School. I called a couple of his games. I used to do color commentary for Friday Night Lights. We used to do high school coverage. Me and a guy named Trey McDaniel, who's one of the really underutilized play-by-play talents around here. We would do the games, and I remember seeing him. I think he was a sophomore the first time we called his games. Like, all right, this kid's good. He's kind of quick. He's kind of shifty. But you never know from high school to holy cow, this guy's literally one of the 3 or 4 best players in all of the NFL. That's how good Alvin Kamara is. Preacher man.
All right, so this story has been around. It's coming back to fruition because the trial apparently is now over. Craig Carton, formerly half of the famous Boomer and Carton sports talk show on WFAN, has been found guilty of running a massive concert ticket scam.
Yeah. Best thing you said there, Paul, was former host. He will never host with Boomer Esiason.
Well, he'll never host with anyone.
No. Well, so, maybe Pookie in Cell Block 9.
That's true. So he quit his job amidst a federal investigation back in September of 2017. He was convicted in court on Wednesday and is now facing up to 45 years in the federal pen.
Oh, my God. He didn't even kill anybody.
Paul, did you by chance read what they used as defense? It's so over-the-top ridiculous. I forgot the exact term, but basically they say it was kind of akin to saying money comes, money goes. The only thing he was guilty of was lying. He's saying, hey, I had all these investors, and I was eventually going to get to repaying them. He was repaying like $5 and $6 million in gambling debt.
Yeah. Well, they defrauded investors out of more than $2 million. He was found guilty of conspiracy to fraud the U.S., wire fraud, and securities fraud.
Yeah.
So check
the box. He's going to be in prison for a while.
This is criminal behavior, but you got guys killing people and they go to jail for 10 years. And you got this guy with it's paper crimes and 45 years. I don't know. That
white collar crime is a big deal.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I know it is.
They want to put millionaires in jail for breaking the law.
Well, look, I think violence against people should be a bigger deal. I'll just leave it at that.
No, I agree.
No disagreement.
You know what I mean? I mean, 45 for this, 10 for kill. That doesn't work for me. Anyway, back to you.
All right, so we'll stay in New York for real quick. Apparently, Mike Francesa was in the middle of a non sequitur, as usual, about Taz and Moose, which is a CBS sports radio show. And when he wound up talking about Boomer's co-host, his name is Greg Giannotti, mm-hmm. or it goes by Gio. And he started complaining that Gio does a terrible impersonation of Mike Francesa, and he wishes that he would stop. Stop it. He said, enough already. God, get some new material. He says, no wonder your show stinks.
Well, John is throwing his hands in the air and waving them like he just don't care.
Yes.
And he's got a big smile on his face. And I'm guessing that there's been an announcement for the Miami Hurricanes quarterback for Saturday's game against Georgia Tech. John, over to you.
How would you guess that? My wife could have sent me a really positive text.
No, I know. Yeah.
I know
what
Malik
floats your boat.
Rozier on Saturday. Yes! Yes!
Until the third series.
If he comes in the third series,
I'm
like 15 rows from the field.
Preacher man, you know third series Malik Rozier.
I'm letting you know, if I see him trot out there, barring injury, if he comes trotting out there in the third series, no. I'm going on the field.
No, you're not, because then you won't make it to Cleveland, fool.
You know what? I'll make it to Cleveland. I'm quick. I've seen some of the security. No, I'm kidding. I would never run on the field too much.
You're nuts. All right, so we got some Laker IG model on IG model crime. All right, so
got me intrigued with IG model on IG model.
So we got Kyle Kuzman, right? And you got
Kuzma,
excuse me.
And I know what he meant.
Brandon Ingram. I'm on a roll. Let me go. It's like, you know, let it go. So Brandon Ingram is dating multiple women who aren't allowed to claim him publicly. One of them is a stripper who originally had seats in the 300 section, but has recently been moved down to the 200
section. Oh, so she upgraded.
Yes. Now, apparently, Kyle is dating one of our favorite IG models, Katya Elise Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She decided.
She's hot, too.
I know. She's smoking hot. So Henry decided to troll the stripper, whose name is Raylan Inez, by showing her that Kuz got her and her friend tickets in the 100 section, while Inez is still stuck in the 200 section.
Gorgeous.
Well, at least she's not in the 300s anymore.
This is, I mean.
Which one is that getting them the tickets?
We got Kuz getting the stripper the tickets.
Okay.
Kuz is getting Henry the tickets, and then Brandon is getting the stripper the tickets.
And you know who's laughing about this? Kuz and Ingram in the locker room. They're like, all these chicks want us, man. Isn't life great?
Oh,
could you imagine being a Laker in L.A.? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you don't have any pressure on you now because LeBron's there taking all the pressure.
I don't know about that.
Dude, you're Brandon Ingram. People care about LeBron. They don't care about Brandon. No, the strippers, as T-Pain tells you, sometimes you got to be in love with a stripper.
All right, tonight, Thursday Night Football, Steelers versus Ravens.
Yes.
Well, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown was stopped by police for speeding just hours before the team's Thursday night game against the Panthers. According to Ross Township Police, Brown was cited for going in excess of 100 miles per hour southbound on McKnight Road near McCandless Crossing. An officer was looking for a possible robbery suspect at the time when a black Porsche sped past him. The officer pulled the driver over, who was identified as Antonio Brown. Brown was cited for reckless driving.
100 miles an hour, you say?
In excess of, yes.
Oh, so he was actually cited?
Yes, for reckless driving.
So the cop didn't, like...
He didn't let him off the hook.
Oh, you're Antonio Brown. Right this way, sir. I don't know. I kind of sort of believe in preferential treatment to ballplayers like that.
I
do. I really do.
Not at 100 miles an hour. I want you to read. Text just came in. Just hit it before it goes to... Just read the bottom ones from my buddy Officer Brad over at Georgia Tech.
It says, all the officers have your picture. They will be on the lookout for John Michaels' two-ricked head punch. They're on to you, John.
I know.
You better not take your clothes off around the field.
No, that is true.
You'll get tackled by Paul Johnson.
Now, should I wear like a gas mask or something out there where maybe
they
don't
notice
me? You're
going to want to disguise your identity, for sure. Preacher Matt's got a point, though. You got to stalk the sidelines up at Dog Pound Arena, whatever the hell they call it up there, for the Browns game at 1 o'clock right here on 92.9 The Game.
I do. I have duty calls. Matter of fact, I got to go.
When the hell are you flying up, by the way?
Sunday morning.
At 3:30 a.m.?
Yeah, 8 o'clock. I get there at 9:30. Right. I'm not on the air till almost noon, so I got plenty of time. Right. Hey, Paul, research material.
Nope.
All right, that means I've got to step in as a pinch hitter, and I'm going to be like Jim Leyritz coming up right now. And this comes from Tommy and Winder.
You know, as you're trying to get everybody up, you just send everybody down with the Jim Leyritz reference,
well, guess
John.
What? This is going to get you back up. Thanks to Tommy and Winder, who sent this one in. V.V. Castrillon, or Castrillon. C-A-S-T-R-I-L-L-O-N. V.V. Castrillon. You're welcome. We come back. We're doing the Slice of Life early today. What's your bucket list SEC road trip? Rick's going to Tuscaloosa. He's going to blend in. Let me tell you about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Slice of Life a little early today. We got a couple of interviews. It's brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. And coming up at 1:20, we'll have Adam the Bull from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland talking about Browns and Falcons as we get to know our enemy and do that thing that we do every week. And we have Lloyd Pierce for his weekly interview with your boys at 1:40. Lloyd Pierce, obviously the head coach of our Atlanta Hawks. So, today's Slice of Life is, what is your bucket list SEC road trip? Tomorrow night, after a shifted NBA TV, I'm going to head home, and I'm going to hop in. What kind of car does she have? Summer, our homegirl on the lake that we're always talking about. I
think she's the Lamborghini?
She's got a Tahoe. Okay. Something like big, huge SUV. I'm pretty sure it's a Tahoe. And so we're going to file into that. I'm going to have some clothes. I'm going to have some toiletries. Most importantly, I'm going to have some Tito's and sugar-free Red Bull. And I'm going to vibe my way all the way to Tuscaloosa.
You're bringing the wet wipes.
I will bring wet wipes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, just in case. You never know.
You guys are hoteling it in Tuscaloosa?
We are. That we were maybe going to sleep in the RV, but Summer has like a 2 or 3-year-old girl who's going to be in the RV. She's up at the before the butt crack had gone. I don't want no. I need to get some sleep, man. So we're staying at a dog friendly hotel.
What time
in
is
Tuscaloosa.
The kick down there?
3:30.
Oh, so that's not too bad.
3:30.
Wake up at 10, pregame.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked because I'm going to be able to watch the dog game now. I was kind of worried a couple days ago. I didn't exactly know the times. I hadn't looked at the schedule for this week yet, and I'm like, dogs at 7:00. Sweet. So I'll be able to watch the dogs after Alabama pummels Mississippi State. So shout out to Summer. She is driving. Me and Charity going as well. We're going to be safe and sound and having a blast. But so, John, I looked at early in the show. I'm like, I don't know if this is my bucket list SEC trip. So I took an opportunity to look at it, and it, in fact, is my bucket list SEC road trip going to Tuscaloosa. Obviously, everybody speaks so highly of Tuscaloosa. I've never been there. Mm-hmm. I love going to college towns. There's so much energy in college towns. Obviously, the stadium with 100,000-plus people going crazy for Alabama. So I'm going to have a chance to plug into that and see it and experience it, and I'm really, really excited about it. But I go Bama, LSU, Florida, Auburn, Texas A&M as my top five, and Bama on top. Number two, John, would be going to Death Valley at night to watch the Tigers play.
A couple of people are texting in already saying, hey, eat at a place called Taco Casa in Tuscaloosa. Taco Casa. That would be House of Tacos. Is that, if you translate that the right way, or House Taco or Taco House or whatever? Yeah, either way, they said that's the best, so you may want to check that out. Alabama is not – I've heard hit or miss with Alabama. I've heard hit or miss when it comes to how the environment – yeah, of course, they get 90,000 there when they're playing somebody big and they're excited and they're fun and they're everything like that. For me, number one, it's LSU, and it's not even close. A night game at Death Valley where I could get there at like noon. So I'd have to do this trip without the kids. Get there at noon and just start on bourbon at noon. Like, not Bourbon Street, but actual bourbon. Just straight bourbon. And see if I could make it all the way through the evening.
Why are you talking about bourbon?
Because that's, I mean, that's what you do in Baton Rouge. Bourbon. Or you get some mixed drinks. You get some slushies.
What about vodka?
Well, I'll always have Tito's. Tito's is always. That's number one for me.
If you're going to mix Tito's and bourbon.
Why not?
You're going to feel like butt the next day.
Well,
I don't merge alcohols like that. I don't know about you guys.
It's game day,
exactly.
Sacrifice. It's game day. Take one for the team.
It's Saturday, right. I'm going to sleep in as much as I can and take a nap during the day, and then we'll go to Georgia Tech and, you know, maybe have a – I'm not going to have many. I'll have a couple.
I don't like feeling like crap on Sunday. Like, if there's a concert or something, I'll blow it out. And, like, when we went to the Government Mule Halloween concert, I felt really terrible the next day. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, though. You're dragging butt all day. There's NFL football. Like, I stand in front of the TV and watch football for 3 hours, okay, from 1 to 4, and then I can sit down when it's the later window because it's a more condensed screen. But you're tired. I don't want to be all tired standing up watching football.
So here's how I would rank my top four of where I would want to go. Number one is LSU. Number two, I've actually been to this place, and it's unbelievable, and I know fans in this state are going, who wants to go to Tennessee? Dude, Neyland Stadium, Rocky Top is a hell of a scene. It's a beautiful campus. What's their downtown area called, Paul? Is it Franklin Street or that? No, Franklin, I think, is at North Carolina.
Yeah, that's not it. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But they've got a little downtown district with bars and clubs. And I went there 16 years ago, so I was a little younger. But we had a great time there. So Tennessee's two. I don't want to tell you, Rick, with the boats coming up on the river, really cool scene. Number three for me would be the Grove at Ole Miss. I have heard nothing but fantastic stuff at Ole Miss, and I don't care. I'd prefer to see him with Jordan Te'amo playing like some slappy where they put up 80 points. But I heard the Grove at Ole Miss, and number four, it'd be the Swamp. And it has nothing to just to see the people watch, the jort wearing, the cutoff T-shirt, the trailer park, all of that, everything that goes along with Florida football, those would be my top four. Mark Owens, your SEC road trip outside of Athens, which you go to like 8 times a year.
You know, I kind of made a list of some of the reasons you should take these road trips and some of the sites you see on the road trips. Like LSU, I want to take that road trip because you got to pass through Biloxi and New Orleans to get there. You stop off and gamble a little bit along the highway. Vandy, you want to go to a Vandy game because tickets are easy. And let's be honest, Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nashville is awesome.
Nashville is the tailgate in Vandy.
Rippies, barbecue. Don't get the sampler for yourself.
I back you up with Ole Miss because of the Grove.
Mm-hmm.
That is a legitimately, no joke, a bucket list place I'd love to go. But I want to go to a game that has no implications of Georgia whatsoever. I want to go as with friends that are Ole Miss fans. Like, I don't want to go when they're playing Georgia. So I want to experience that as a fan of that team.
I want to ask you, Mark, have mm-hmm. we got to the point where going to the Grove is creepy at our age?
It depends on how long you stand at that tent you're not invited to.
Hey. I'm glad you went there because I've heard about the Grove and all the pretty girls and all this, but the key word is girls. Okay, I'm 49. I think it is creepy, John. I really do, and I'm not trying to like buzzkill everybody, but like, ooh, college girls.
I think it's the atmosphere and the culture and the
tailgate.
I
get all that, but like it's like college girls. First of all, I'm 49 years old, dude. Mm-hmm. Nah, it's creepy.
You don't go, but you're not going to Alabama to hit on girls. Why would you go to the Grove to hit on girls?
Yeah, I'm not hitting.
No. But I'm just saying, like, when you talk to people who have been to the Grove, they sell you on the Grove with, mm-hmm. oh man, you know, this and that. And it's a little creepy to me.
But every college town has good looking co-eds.
I could sell you on Miami games. It's 3/4 naked women with their hair tied up.
Well,
but
a lot
most of them aren't college students.
I was just going to say, a lot of them are adults.
Yeah.
You know, spinning around poles down there in South Florida.
Not King of Diamonds anymore. Did you see? King of Diamonds is gone.
What?
It's gone.
What is King of Diamonds?
KOD.
One of the great strip clubs in the history of the United States.
Tell him, John.
It got how does a strip club get foreclosed on? How did you not pay your rent? The amount of money that's getting thrown around in King of Diamonds in Miami, they got foreclosed on. They had like a warning. They just, whatever. And they went in and boarded it up yesterday. Now, they said the owners had already taken out everything out of there. So they knew this thing's about to close up. But King of Diamonds, no longer here.
Yeah, but how does it compare to Toppers in Athens? You ever been there?
No.
Really?
Do they have patches over the
no.
good
Toppers
places?
Is just Top.
Okay, what is Toppers better than the strip club in Ozark?
Only because I'm a Georgia fan, I'm gonna say it's better.
Signs point to no.
Every Georgia fan or everybody that's ever passed through Athens has a Topper story.
Okay.
It's almost kind of like Claremont Lounge. Mm. You got to experience it at least once.
One time.
Let me continue on. Kentucky, because of the distilleries. And I heard that the Kentucky fans are actually pretty cool, and it's a cool place to watch a football game.
Not so much basketball, though.
Yeah, I know. Go to Tennessee, like John said. Mm-hmm. But I like to go there because it makes me feel better about my life choices and my education. So go into Florida because then I can.
Wait. You didn't finish college.
Or go to Georgia.
Or did I go to Tennessee either?
That's true.
I got the rejection letter on Georgia letterhead. I'd like to go to Florida, not to go see it, but to see women who sweat more than I do. And finally, going to South Carolina would be a lot of fun because you can drop some Molly and listen to cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo. Ain't no football game, it's a party. Need some water.
All right, so
why are you dehydrated?
Before we get to the preacher,
you're on
man,
Molly.
Pop
how do you
Molly,
know it
I'm
dehydrates
sweating
you?
Woo,
huh, Mark?
Here we go.
I'm trying to get some. I'm trying to mudsling post election. How do you know that you get dehydrated from Molly? How do you know?
It's over, buddy. Let's move on to preacher.
We
man
can impeach you. By the way, Zach and Marietta said, "Hey, I went.
Good job ducking that question.
I went to Ole Miss, kind of." He said the Grove is littered with hot alumni Cougars. Definitely a place every sports fan needs to experience. So it's not as creepy for y'all to go.
Okay. It's good intel.
I like how you said y'all.
That's good intel.
Did he say y'all or you?
I didn't say y'all.
You guys hear what I'm saying?
I thought you were self-deprecating over there, passing the buck.
Let's move on.
I'll be honest. Walking around the University of Maryland campus, you realize how much older we are than college kids. Because I'm just walking around to go to the game, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is my kids.
Exactly. Kids. Nah, I can't do that.
Hey, baby, you're pretty hot. You looking for your daughter? Crap.
You know, if you're an old man like us, go to a strip club and ogle at women. Listen to the research material during From the Bible. They're women that want to be objectified anyway.
Or come to Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Like, that's inbounds. That's, you know, anyway.
Twin Peaks and Buckhead, they all look good.
You got that right.
It is fun, though, as an adult to go to these college bars and just stand back and watch. It is pure entertainment watching college kids. And this old man Owens talking again. Last year, we were up in Athens after a game, and it was late, and we were at Boar's Head. And we're feeling good, but we're just watching. It's about close to 2 a.m. They're shutting it down, and this is the ugly part of the night. Mm-hmm. Some sweaty frat boy just walks in front of me, drunk as a mess, looks at me and goes, "Effing narc," and kept walking. And I'm like, go dogs.
By the way, somebody did text in and say, Mark did not get 50% of the votes. We should have a runoff.
Now, we're too lazy for that crap.
That
Come
is
on.
True.
It took everything we had to just do that one election.
That's a lot of poll we had to put up.
Do we have a governor yet?
Oh, no. Not yet.
By the way, do we have a governor yet?
The better chance we'll have Thanksgiving before we'll have it.
And guess what? Neither does Florida.
Yeah.
Florida.
No. Shocking. Not voting controversy in Florida. No.
They have volunteers actually hand counting stuff. Paul, what are your SEC road trip bucket lists?
LSU at night, for sure.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about that. I'd love to check that out. Definitely the Grove. I mean, you got to. From everything I've heard from people that I know that have gone there, just the experience, it's just fantastic. Obviously, Tennessee, you've been there. You should definitely check it out. I mean, to watch them come up the river, you know, the Orange Army is what they call it, you know, when they're
the Tennessee walking horse coming out, which is really
all
cool.
That. I mean, it's 105,000 of your closest friends with no teeth. I'll also go to Texas A&M.
Yeah, I'd love to go. I've heard Texas A&M's awesome.
That to me seems like a really raucous stadium.
No doubt. I mean, that's why it's on my top five.
They stand up the whole time. You know, it's kind of, well, for me, there's a little military involved in there.
Miami had a home-and-home with them in like 07, 08. Unfortunately, I wasn't making enough money to make it down there in 07 or 08, whatever year they played at A&M.
And then I would go to I'd go to the Swamp, for sure. I think I'd like to check out the environment down there. And Alabama.
I want to go to Auburn. I've heard Auburn's great, and I've driven past there multiple times going to New Orleans. Sorry, Bama fans. I don't really have an interest in going to Bama. I don't need to see 90,000 people dressed exactly the same.
They probably have the greatest dynasty in the history of college football. So you as a college football head, why wouldn't you want to go there and just experience that atmosphere?
Saban. Jealous, bitter.
I don't like Nick Saban. I mean, it's bitter. Pretty simple. Don't mean, like him.
Bitter, jealous.
No, yeah, maybe.
No, that's me. I'm not talking for you. I'm talking for me. Yeah, I'm jealous and bitter, 100%. I would like to go to a Mississippi State game for the Cowbells.
See,
but
that
I think that would get annoying after, unless you're a
why
fan.
Why would you want to go annoy yourself for 3.5 hours?
To experience it. Again, it's all about the culture and the traditions.
That's what it sounds like the whole game. You really want to. I mean, you can have it right now. Right
if
here
I
want
to hear that
studios.
Sound, I'll just go drink myself into a hangover.
See, I mean, it's a cowbell. It's Rick Kamla doing the cowbell.
The SEC is a really, really cool place. Like, they've got a lot of cool stadiums. The size and the scope, and I talked about this earlier when we did Tell the Truth. Going to Maryland, Michigan State, it was like a high school game. It really was. There were a ton of Michigan State fans there. Nothing against them. They traveled, a lot of them, to Maryland. Maryland has their own problems going on. Nobody cares. We walked around campus, and, like, you could see the stadium, but I didn't know which roads to go, and we're asking people, and they're like, oh, it's back that way. Why aren't you going to the game? And nobody cares. They're a 5-3 football team. Nobody cares.
Well, I think, and you saw the way, look, John, you were at the game. Michigan State pounded Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for the kids on that football team. Like, what? How much mental stress have they been through, right?
Oh, yeah.
With their teammate dying.
Yep.
And the coach is in, the coach is out, now he's out again. Like, there was nothing left of that team mentally for that Michigan State game.
If I can go backwards for 2 seconds, talking about toppers in Athens,
I've
got a thread going with all my redneck, dirty, dumb Georgia fans,
mm-hmm.
and now this has inspired them. Now we have a thread going of topper stories.
Oh, no.
Of getting kicked out, of puking in the back, of not having to pay for anything, trying to date a topper's girl. It's beautifully horrifying.
Here's what we need next time we go, like, for the spring game this year. We'll go to Grindhouse Killer Burgers. We love Johnny out there. We'll go hang out with him. And then after the spring game, make it on over
yes,
the top.
Yes, sir.
You know, the six in the afternoon Saturday crew has to be top
well,
of the
line.
Well,
it's game day Saturday. If it's a spring game,
uh-huh.
there's an event going on. They're going to bring in the
B-plus team.
I was going to – there's
an A-team.
Is there an A-team
now,
the toppers?
In full disclosure, it's been a minute since I've been in there, so we might have to double-check and see what the place is about now.
Okay.
But all my buddies have been there many mm-hmm. times.
So the B-team is as good as it gets there?
Well, you are. You do have college girls working there. Does that go back to the creepy part?
No comment.
It's a no-win situation. There's a no-win situation.
Yes, it is.
Walking in or out.
Mm-mm, it's not. Hey, Adam the Bull, he's our guy. Maybe we'll get Rick to argue with
he's
him about.
He's your guy, John.
You guys made up. You kissed.
Oh, that's right.
And made up.
We didn't
Adam
kiss.
The Bull will join us next. We'll talk to him about the Browns as we get ready to head up there to wonderful weather of like 32 degrees and wet. Awesome. It's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Falcons. And at 1 o'clock, it'll be the boot from Dog Pound Stadium, whatever the hell they call it up there. Falcons and Browns right here on the home of the Falcons. John Michaels is going to be on the field. Wes and Dave with the call up in the booth. And right now, we've got a guy who clocks every move of these Cleveland Browns. Adam the Bull from 92.9 The Fan in Cleveland on the WadeFord.com hotline. Adam, what's up, dude? Thanks for coming back with us.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not too much, man. Loving Baker Mayfield. Really am. And I know that Adam, you know, as I like to say, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. He's a rookie. There was a bad interception last week. There's been some mistakes here and there. But I love that dude at Oklahoma, and I'm seeing a lot of the Oklahoma Baker Mayfield with the Cleveland Browns. Adam, the Browns are must-watch TV. It's like watching the 76ers in basketball, one of the hot young teams. I've watched every game you guys have played, like wire to wire this year, and I've really enjoyed Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of the people in the media in Cleveland are big-time homers, and so they think every next guy is going to be a great guy. I'm not like that. I tend to lean the other way. I'm very skeptical, especially for this organization that has done nothing but lose. But I'm with you. I'm convinced. Now, Baker Mayfield hasn't been great by any means, but it's clear to me that he's finally a legitimate NFL quarterback, which the Browns have not had in over 20 years. So it is exciting watching him play. Doesn't have enough help around him. He's making some rookie mistakes, obviously. But it's clear they have finally, after so many failed tries, found a real quarterback.
Adam, interesting moves for Cleveland, and you guys obviously cover it all the time, but trading away, first of all, signing Carlos Hyde and then subsequently trading him away to let Nick Chubb get some run. Do you like the dynamic now with Chubb and more Duke Johnson as opposed to what they were doing before with Carlos Hyde back there?
Big time. I hated that they were using Carlos Hyde. I thought he was their worst of the three running backs. I mean, he's a perfectly, you know, adequate running back, but he's not explosive. Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson are the two most explosive players on the Browns' offense. And the way they're using him, it could even be better. I don't think they use Duke Johnson enough. I've been screaming about that for years. He is great, whether it's in terms of pass catching, he's one of the better running backs in the NFL. And whenever he's given the rare chance to run the ball, he usually does well. His yards per carry average is really good. It's always been really good. I thought it made a ton of sense to get Carlos Hyde in the, out of the picture, and they are much more explosive in the backfield with just these two guys.
Let's unravel this. Adam the Bull, 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. At the time of the draft, I thought that the Browns should have not signed Carlos Hyde, taken Saquon Barkley at the top of the draft, and then taking a quarterback at number four. And who knows, Baker Mayfield might have even been there at number four. And so you sign Hyde, and now you make the move, which I totally agree with. But talk to me about that. Let's unravel this a little bit. Like, let's say they don't sign Carlos Hyde. Are you with me that they should have gone Saquon one and then wait to number four for the quarterback?
No, I'm not with you there. I understand in theory what you're saying, and had they ended, had they done that and ended up with Baker Mayfield or the guy they wanted, in theory that's perfect. But here's the problem. The Browns have passed on too many quarterbacks too many times, and they had to. I know you could have still gotten a good quarterback at four. You know, time will tell of all these guys who ends up being the best. But ultimately, you could not take the chance that you would lose the quarterback you wanted the most for Barkley. I mean, I know Barkley's great, fantastic. I think Nick Chubb is great and fantastic, too. Obviously, Saquon Barkley's had more of an opportunity, and probably will be better than Chubb going forward. But is the difference going to be that much? We'll see. I know Barkley's got the bigger name. We'll find out as their careers go along who's much better. Yeah, in a perfect world, if you could have gotten Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley, that would have been the ideal draft. I just don't know if that could have happened, and I don't know if they liked any of the other guys as much as they liked Mayfield. And maybe the Giants would have taken him, maybe the Jets would have taken him, who knows. But, no, I wasn't that thrilled about signing Carlos Hyde. I'm with you there. But I'm fine with them taking Baker Mayfield at one. And Denzel Ward, who they took at four, and I was really more of a Bradley Chubb guy at four, but Denzel Ward's been excellent playing corner for the Browns. He looks like a keeper as well.
Adam, Jarvis Landry also brought over, and I, growing up in Miami, I've always kind of kept an eye on the Dolphins, even leaving here in Atlanta. And Jarvis Landry's always been a conundrum. He played against us here a year ago and went bananas, but he kind of went scorched earth on his way out of Miami. How has he been with Cleveland, with the team, with the media? Is he the type of teammate they wanted to take on?
Yeah, he's been pretty good. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm a little skeptical, too, because he hasn't always been the best teammate in the past. And there are moments where he gets, you know, when you're scratching your head. There was a moment earlier in the season where he didn't hustle on one play, and that was an issue. But by and large, he's been a good teammate and been a good player. He doesn't have much help, if at all, at wide receiver. He's not an elite wide receiver. He's probably a little overpaid with the contract they gave him. He's a really good wide receiver, but he's not, you know, in that elite class with a Julio Jones. So, you know, but overall, I'd say he's been a good teammate and a good player, but not great.
Adam the Bull joining us here. We're getting to know our enemy, the Cleveland Browns. Hopefully we can get the dub on Sunday. You'll hear it here on the home of the Falcons. Adam the Bull with 92.3, the Fan up in Cleveland. And I want to talk David Njoku, because I've got him on a couple of fantasy teams, and I don't feel like y'all use him enough, man. And the Falcons have had their struggles guarding tight ends this year. They have given up the 12th most fantasy points to tight ends, so not great against that position. Last week, Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed, you know, merged their numbers together. They had a Gronk game against the Atlanta Falcons. So is this going to be an Njoku game, and do you agree with me that that David Njoku needs a few more targets his way?
He should have more targets. I do agree with you, but it's not all on the game plan. Some of it's the fact that he's not been reliable when he's been given the targets. He's had a major drops problem. The funny thing about Njoku is he's an extreme talent. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the pure physical gifts he has are through the roof. He should be down the line in a frontline pass-catching tight end. But he seems to do better on tough plays. When it's a really tough play, he seems to always make the grab, and then he often will drop the routine catch. And if you do that often enough, your quarterback doesn't believe in you, and so the targets are going to start going somewhere else. I actually think, you know, especially last week, we saw Duke Johnson get 9 targets, and I know the Falcons have not been good about defending the running backs who catch passes, so I would expect another big Duke Johnson game. I do think David Njoku will get targeted more. Question is, will he be able to hold on to the ball if it comes his way?
Adam the Bull with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I know that last week was tough. Kansas City, dynamic offense, goes up and does their thing against Cleveland's defense. But for the most part, you guys have had a salty defense led by Myles Garrett. How do they want to play the Falcons defensively after seeing what happened against Kansas City a week ago?
Well, the Browns are in big trouble on the defensive end. And the big question will be, if Denzel Ward can play this week. So I think the Browns' only chance is to get to Matt Ryan. I'm not all that confident they'll be able to get to him on any kind of regular basis. Their defense is talented when healthy. It's the best it's been in a while. The problem is not healthy. Their best linebacker, Joe Schobert, who calls all the plays, the quarterback of the defense, he has missed the last few weeks. Now, he did practice yesterday. Didn't get the report yet today, but I still don't think he's going to play. Their second-best linebacker, Christian Kirksey, just went on IR. Their best corner, I mentioned Denzel Ward, he left last week's game with an injury. He didn't practice yesterday. Don't know if he's playing. Their second-best corner, Terrence Mitchell, is out for the year. Their third-best corner just went on IR this year. And their best safety is questionable to play in the game as well. So on the back seven of the defense, which was pretty good early in the year, is totally decimated. So if the Browns cannot get to Matt Ryan, which, again, I'm not confident they can do on any regular kind of basis, although Myles Garrett is an absolute superstar, if they can't, they have no chance against your receivers. I'm not sure if you guys know better than me about Sanu's status, but obviously with Ridley and Julio and Hooper, I just don't see how the Browns can, and Kevin Coleman, I just don't see how the Browns can shut down all those guys in the passing game.
Adam the Bull from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Sanu's been missing a lot of practice time with this hip injury, and it is bothering him, but he's playing on Sunday. I speak for John and mm-hmm. me. We expect him to play. Will he be, you know, max capacity? I don't know, but he'll be out there, if even as a decoy in the three wide sets, just to create that situation for the defense to take into account. Now, I want to ask you about Myles Garrett, because I know he's got, I believe it's 9 sacks. He's right up there with the league leaders. He's got a ton of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage, kind of like a shot blocker in basketball. He's been terrific. But the first overall pick needs to be able to play like this. But the question is, Adam, is Myles Garrett even better than you thought he would be?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I thought he would be really good, and I think he's lived up to expectations. I mean, he is an absolute superstar. And it's, you know, in Cleveland, you know, this is my 8th football season working in Cleveland. I'm used to first-round picks coming here and being awful. And so I haven't really had expectations for a lot of the first-round picks. I've kind of assumed they were all going to be busts. But with Myles Garrett, I was like, man, there's just no way this guy can be a bust. Unless the only concern with Garrett was health, right? He got hurt his last year in college. He was hurt a lot last year, and that's why he had an inconsistent season. But so far this year, he's been healthy, and he is just a monster. I mean, I think as he continues to learn and grow as a player and the talent around him improves, Larry Ogunjobi's a nice player in the middle. I think, you know, sky's the limit. I mean, I think he's already got a great chance to be a pro bowler this year in his second year, first full season. So I would say my expectations were through the roof, and he has so far lived up to them.
Adam, real quick before we let you go, who do you think could end up being the coach a year from now? I know Hugh Jackson's gone, Todd Haley gone, interim coach Greg Williams right now. What's it looking like? Have there been any names surfacing in the Cleveland area?
So I think there's 4 names that, you know, that we've been talking about a lot. 2 of them out of the college ranks, Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, who obviously was Baker Mayfield's coach, and Matt Campbell, who has done a great job at Iowa State, and every other stop he's been, and he's a local guy. And the other names are from the coaching ranks currently, John DeFilippo and Josh McDaniels, who's a controversial choice. He is from the area. He is highly thought of as an offensive mind. You know, the whole drafting Tim Tebow thing has me a little leery of him, and then just what happened in Indianapolis. But I think John DeFilippo, who's done a great job in Philly and Minnesota, who was here as an offensive coordinator for 1 year, McDaniels and Campbell, I think. I don't think Lincoln Riley's leaving Oklahoma, but I think those other three guys are near the top of the list. But the good news is that John Dorsey, it appears, the Browns GM, who is the only good hire Browns owner Jimmy Haslam has made. Everybody else he has hired, coach and GM, has been terrible. He finally made one good hire, and he's going to allow the GM, by all accounts now, to do the hiring himself. Because if Jimmy Haslam hires the coach, it'll be the wrong choice, and this team will never be good again.
Hey, Adam, quickly, on the way out, could you please tell J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson to get off the rook Colin Sexton? My God, he's 19. He's going to make some mistakes. It's a 1-10 team. For the love of God, Adam!
Well, let me tell you something. I agree with you 100%. I've been killing the veterans. They are a pathetic, embarrassing disgrace. These guys, Tristan and JR, they talk like they're a bunch of champions. Yeah, technically they are, but that's because they grabbed onto LeBron's coattails for 4 years and came along for the ride. It's amazing. You know, LeBron continues to, and I'm not a LeBron apologist at all, but, I mean, if you think about this bunch of schlubs that he took to the finals 4 years in a row, it's really amazing. You're 100% right. Colin Sexton's 19 years old. He's barely played in the league. And now he's looking at the bench every 10 seconds waiting to be pulled out because all these guys are being a bunch of punks and giving him a hard time. I would get rid of I'd get rid of JR, I'd get rid of Tristan, and anybody else that has given this kid a hard time.
Adam, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.